Hey y'all, welcome to the Build Guild podcast, a professionally unprofessional podcast for makers. Do it again.
No.
Just
no.
Kidding.
That's it.
You don't, we're raw. You don't get to do it again.
Nope. We're unprofessional.
It. Yeah, it's unprofessional.
We weren't. See, that is a great lead-in.
That's right.
It's like setting the standard. Expectations are already exactly where they need to be.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, for y'all that don't know, this is Shay Johnson is our guest host today.
Hey, y'all. I'm Shay. I'm graphic designer, freelance writer, and all-around creative person who loves being around other people that like to create. So I'm happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Yeah. Absolutely. And always we have Brian from Fiery Squirrel Heart.
Hi.
And Ben from Ben's Workshop.
Myers Woodshop.
That's Myers Woodshop.
Myers Woodshop.
It's Workshop now. I guess that's what I should be. So well, I haven't touched wood in a long time.
We've talked about the transition.
I know. Yep.
And then I'm Cody from Organic Woodwork.
That's right. Well, everyone knows you because you're on TV.
Yep.
Not yet.
Whoa.
Will be.
And Shay, you write articles about Cody, right?
I do write articles. I actually have two articles coming out about Cody within the next 3 days.
Sweet. So that's how she came. You're like, yo, come on my podcast, and then you can write more articles about
it. Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah. So, Shay, tell us a little bit. So I really want to know more about the creative writing portion of this.
Okay.
All right. So if you could tell our listeners, like, what was it that got you really involved in creative writing?
Well, I can't remember ever not writing to start. Like, I was the kid who wrote everyone else's essays in school because and got money for it because
we would have been best friends.
Right.
I never remembered writing anything.
I loved writing. And so,
do you love reading? Does that go hand in hand?
No.
Okay.
Actually, yes and no. I do like to read. I don't have time to read, and I don't ever go back and read what I wrote. So, and I hate
to, you love writing so much that you don't mess with anything.
I don't mess with it. I really don't. Okay. And I don't like to get influence from other people. I feel like it taints my own stuff.
Yeah.
And so, like, if I'm on a specific genre or, you know, working on something, I can't read anything involved with that thing because it's, I don't know. Maybe I'm a purist. Maybe I'm a snob. And I don't know.
I understand that. That makes sense to me.
Yeah. That was actually, I took a hiatus from social media for a long time because of that. Because I just noticed watching other people doing things on social media with wooden projects. It was just like, it was starting to interfere with what I was doing.
We're so easily influenced. Everyone thinks we're like so special and, you know, you have your stuff together, but no, you're influenced by everything. we get primed all the time by stuff.
And we're a groupthink society, I guess.
We are. It's very connected on, you know, a good level most of the time. But so with writing, I don't read other people's stuff most of the time, or my own.
did you I get right now you work for the local newspaper, right?
Yes, sir. I work for the Daily Citizen in Searcy, Arkansas.
And did that writing bring you into that job? How'd that happen?
So how about a funny story? So I moved to Arkansas in 2010 and did nothing related to writing at all, except for in 2014 I did publish a book. And so that happened.
What's it called?
It is called Olive Pressed Psalm 23. So I'm super spiritual. I don't know that really religious would be the right word, but I am very spiritual. Mm. And I was watching, and I also like documentaries and learning and just information, except for writing. And so so I was watching this documentary about Israel. And on this particular episode, they were talking about olive presses in Israel because olive is such a, you know, important crop and symbol for the country. Okay. And they were talking about the process of olive pressing and how the first press you get a certain kind of oil and then the second press you get a more expensive kind of oil. And in the third press, you get the most expensive kind of oil. And then after all the oil is pressed, all of the residue and pits and things that are left in the bottom of the press are also taken out and used for some value and, you know, done something with. And I just found that fascinating because everything is symbolism to me. And so I took that and did
true
it.
True writer.
Right. Yeah, true to writing and dreaming and, you know, my personality. So I took that and I like put it with Psalm 23. And so I broke down every word of every verse in that psalm and how the words connected meant a specific thing and how the verses connected meant a specific thing. And the whole book is about how God is also our shepherd and leads us and guides us and all that stuff. And yeah, it was really, really cool. I'm very proud of that book.
Can we stop right there and on your journey to get to the newspaper? How does one publish, sit down and write a book, publish it, get paid for it? How does, are you shelling out your money to get your book out there?
Yeah, what'd you do?
Yes, I did actually shove out my money to start that. So, well, I wrote it. And then I did what everyone does when they're starting something new in the millennium. I went to the internet and I Googled, how do you publish a book? Because
I love this story already.
This is what you do.
What I would do.
I don't know how to do this. How do you do this?
Right.
And so there's a couple of different ways. There's obviously traditional publishers that you submit manuscripts to, and then they get back with you, and if one likes you, then they pick up your manuscript and they basically hire you and buy your book and then pay you royalties for whatever money they make back, similar to songs or movies or anything else.
Okay.
And then there is self-publishing, which is you go to a printing company and you design your book cover and all the things in it, and you take all this prepackaged to a printing company, and then they print it, and then you go sell it. Mm. And you figure out how to do that really well. If you're a hustler, you could probably make some money selling books. And then the third option is kind of a mix of the two. You go to a publishing company, and they help you like design a cover or have someone from their office design it and all of the things that go into it. And then they do all the back end work of like getting an ISBN number and like just things that the person off the street, like I was at the time, would not know how to do.
For sure.
And then you basically buy your book that is already created and published and in print at a discounted price and then sell it.
Mm-hmm. And I'm guessing that's
what I went with. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So I bought however many copies, I don't even remember now. And then because I am me and I've never met a stranger, and I also the company did set up a couple of book signings for me.
Oh.
But I also just reached out to the Bible House here in Searcy and did a book signing there.
Hey, Ben used to work there.
I did.
Did you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
How long ago was that?
2014.
Was I there? No, I wasn't.
Is that after?
That's after it burned down.
Yes. No, this was at the new location.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. This was at the new location.
I worked there until the day it burned down. So.
Okay, then. Like, I guess this is a new start for all of us.
Yes.
It was a burning bush. So, yeah, so that's what I did, and I sold some books. I still have some that I didn't sell, which people ask about it now, and I'll give it to them for a discounted price because, I don't know, I just think it's cool. People think it's interesting that I have a book published.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Yeah, that's really cool.
Just one.
Just one. Well, life became life after that, and lots of things changed.
That's one more than most of us have published.
That's right. I have zero.
Okay, fair. That's a good point. But yeah, so I kind of backed away from that. That is something that I have in the works for my next endeavors when I move to Houston. But so I published a book, and then life became life. And I got out of the relationship that I was in, moved to Searcy proper at the time of writing the book and all that. I was a youth pastor. I was living in Romance, Arkansas. And And so I ended up back in Searcy, and I went to work for White County Sheriff's Office. I was a sergeant at the jail for 3 years. But I'm still a writer. I still blog. I still, you know, put stuff out there.
Working at the jail, in White County, that had to give you a ton of material to write with.
Yes, I have not started that book. Yeah. But
well, how do you look around for jobs and think, sheriff, I'm going to go work at the jail? I don't. Yeah.
So
what brings you down that? That's okay, crazy.
So, I want to write a book, and I'm going to call it "The Memoirs of White Trash, White County."
Oh my gosh!
It's going to be So okay,
I don't look at you and think jailer.
Right, but if you ever met Sergeant Johnson, honey, let me tell you.
All right. Well, now I'm starting to see a little bit.
All right. So I originally went to school for criminal justice.
Oh.
Let's go back.
Okay,
to
that makes sense. Now it's making more sense.
Let's go back to the past. Yeah. I wanted to be a lawyer, and my school, like in Houston where I grew up, had a courthouse, and we had Explorers, which is like a police training camp.
High school or college?
High school. Yeah.
High school?
We had a magnet high school.
It's Houston.
It's Houston. So our school district had two high schools. One was a health professions magnet school, and so they had a lot of like medical science, and the students could go volunteer and be nursey and, you know, whatever medical people do.
Nursey.
Whatever those healers. People do.
Healers of all boo-boos. And the other school, which is the one that I went to, was a criminal justice law enforcement magnet school. And so we had a courthouse, we had like an actual courthouse, and we had the Explorers, which was the police side, and we had like court reporters that learned how to do the stenography, whatever,
right,
and all that. And so I did a lot of cases. I tried a lot of cases in high school, and so we had a lot of bad kids also, like, because I grew up in Houston. And when the kids would get in trouble at school, they get expelled or whatever. They often were sentenced to community service, but
did the school sentence them since they were a court?
Yes, we did. Those were the cases that I tried.
So that's awesome.
That is literally what we did. We tried the cases to determine how much community service this student would have to serve within our district.
Yeah.
So that was awesome.
A jury
loved
of
it.
Your peers, for sure.
Literally. Yeah. That was
some
the point.
Some hands-on learning right there.
Yeah, I like that.
It was awesome.
I have never heard of a setup like that.
No, I haven't.
I'm stuck here in Arkansas. In the hills,
so. Well, yeah.
I was from a big city, and we didn't have anything like that at all.
But you're a Yankee, though. Mm.
And then we did a mock trial of Andrea Yates. Yes, that is showing my age. I'm 35. We did a mock trial of Andrea Yates when it was happening. Okay. And so that was really cool and interesting. And I was proud of myself for getting our Andrea Yates acquitted.
So you were defending.
I was.
Okay.
But that experience actually made me not want to be a lawyer because I did my job and I did it well, but I could not in real life represent someone that I knew was guilty.
Okay. Yeah, I could see where that would be.
And I also didn't want to put people in jail.
Yeah.
And so those are
That's kind of ironic because you were guarding them from getting out.
I did not know that was going to happen at the time. And so I kind of got out of the whole lawyer thing, but I still went to school for criminal justice because that was just what I did.
That's the next step, I guess.
It's the next step. I've been doing all this criminal justice stuff.
Right.
So I went to Sam Houston State University and then dropped out of school and got married and moved and life went a different kind of way, and then life went life again a different kind of way, and I came to Arkansas.
Okay.
So when I'm in the situation where I'm out of a relationship, I have three kids, and I'm homeless, you get a job.
You find a house
or some kind of shelter, and you get a job. And so I applied to any and everybody that I could think of. And people that I couldn't think of. Mm-hmm. And then asked people that I knew if they could think of stuff.
Yeah.
And one of those jobs was the sheriff's office. And I happened to know some officers because I was homeschooling my children.
Oh, wow.
Also, yeah. My life has been
Brian's kids are homeschooled.
My life has been very all over the place.
All over, yeah.
Like, literal and figurative. So, yeah, one of them knew me, and so I put in the application, and kind of through him got my application pushed up to the top. Because on paper, there is no reason to hire a person that has been homeschooling for 10 years at the time and has very little experience in a working environment to traditional measures.
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that when I got there, they were like, I don't know what. Yeah. And then also at the time, my hair was blonde, like cotton candy, tissue paper, blonde. And I had an afro. I went natural, but I had like a big afro and it was blonde. And I go in there and I'm all, you know, blah, 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 hi, I'm here for my interview.
Oh, okay.
And yeah, but they hired me anyway because my friend spoke very highly of me and was like, look, hire her. You need people. She's good. Just do it. And so they did.
Sweet.
And I was the first person to skip a promotion ring and go straight to sergeant.
Whoa.
And I did it in 3 months.
Nice.
And then I was sergeant for 3 years. So.
Is sergeant as high as you can go, like, without becoming in charge of the jail or actual police officer or something like that?
It is.
Okay.
It absolutely is. The next step is to be a certified officer as a lieutenant in the jail or to go to patrol.
So you were a ranking non-commissioned officer.
I was the highest ranking non-commissioned officer.
Okay.
Yeah. And gotcha. So on nights and weekends,
how about that?
I was the highest person in the building and making all these decisions.
Wow.
And yeah. Yeah. And so my personality, I am just one of those people. I'm easy to get along with. I, you know, can relate to anyone because I've done all these different kinds of things. However, comma.
Says the writer.
Don't bring out Houston Shea. She is in there. Uh-huh. And
she cuts you.
And she she will let you. I don't even have to cut you. I will look at you. And you'll be like, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Sorry.
She does side-eyed me into submission.
Like, okay. It is. I do. I have a very aggressive personality when I need to.
You got that so, your mama stare down in
I
church.
I do. Look. Oh, I have the your mama stare from y'all? The choir still singing lead and just, hey. Yeah. And they're like, my bad.
Yes, ma'am.
Mom be playing the piano and I'd hear a snap.
Yeah.
And I knew. Like, oh, wow. That was.
She
like,
saw no me. Saw the hands, how did you see that? Yeah.
Did y'all hear that snap?
Is absolutely me.
That's just, well, see, you had 10 years of mom in you. So that kind of translates.
It is so much.
Running a house
like,
with kids is kind of like running a jail.
It is so much, man. Like that.
Like, I got to keep Deacon in, lock it down, or he'll be on the scooter down the road.
Exactly.
Yeah. In his
diaper. I have to keep things organized and in order and secure. Yes. And so
you got to like check their room for, you know,
every 30 minutes.
Contraband.
For contraband. Yeah, Snickers under the bed.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where'd this rapper come from?
So what made you stop at the jail?
I was talking to my lieutenant at the time, and he saw an ad in the paper that they wanted to hire a reporter. And he comes to me and he says, you need to apply for this. And I say, I'm not a writer. Because I didn't go to school for writing. I didn't go to school for journalism. I've never been a professional anything. So, and I also just have a lot of had a lot of difficulty seeing any value in myself. So I like pretty much was like, no, why would I do that? And he said, well, I've seen your writing and I'm pretty sure you can handle it. I read the paper. I'm pretty sure you know how to do that. Uh-huh. And I was like, still saying no. And then he basically threatened to kick my butt and do other kinds of bodily harm if I didn't apply. And so little old Shay again types up a nice little email that says, hi, I have no experience in journalism, but I love to write and would like to write for your paper. I saw you had, you know, and so I'm sure my boss was like, okay. And so he emailed me back and said, why don't you do this one thing that I have and, you know, we'll test it and see how it goes. It was Citizen of the Day. And so I called my realtor and said, hey, Meet me.
Citizen of the day. Let's cut into that because not everybody listening is from Cersei, which is something I really like at the paper. It's okay. Front page, right?
It's front page every Tuesday and Thursday. And so what you do is you pick a person within your demographic, which ours here is Cersei and White County. So any person in White County, mm-hmm. and you write about them.
And that's, and I love it that it's not a negative news story. There's no right. like, hey, this guy went to jail or whatever. It's right. just like, hey, this is one of the citizens that lives in your town. Get yeah. to know him.
Around here.
I think it's awesome.
Yeah. It is my favorite thing to do ever.
Yes.
Love it. And so my first person, I needed someone and I called my realtor because he's really, really cool. His name is John Holt. He's Rock and Roll Real Estate. And so I was like, I'm interviewing you. He's like, okay. And so I did, and I turned it in, and I guess he liked it. And so then the next time he gave me another one, and I called someone else I knew and was like, hey, I need to interview you. She said, okay. She was a homeschool mom. So I did that and turned it in.
You're still working at the jail while you're doing this.
I was still working at the jail. I am freelance part-timing okay. writing on the side on my days off, okay. which, by the way, the jail's work schedule
is weird.
Yes.
Okay.
So we work 12-hour shifts, and 1 week you work Monday, Tuesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, and then the next week you work Wednesday and Thursday.
Whoa.
Oh.
That's very strange.
It is very strange.
Huh.
So.
That's kind of neat.
It's neat because you have days off during the week.
During the week.
When things yeah. are open.
Right. Yeah.
yeah.
But it's unusual.
But when you have a whole lot of days off during the week, and all your friends or people you know are off on the weekends, you're like, what do I do with myself all day?
Yes.
I can't call anybody up, or I'll be like, hey, I'm going to come watch you work.
Yeah, yeah, right?
I do that a lot with Cody. Yeah, I show up while he's working, and I'm off work, and I'm like, hey, what's up, bud?
Yeah.
I'm going to stand around and interrupt you.
Take your friend to work day.
yeah, take your friend. That's it.
Well, and then it's also worse when you're on night shift and everyone's asleep when you're up.
Right.
But so I applied and started doing this part-time thing for the paper. That was October. And then Thanksgiving week, the editor sent me a message and said, hey, would you like to come on full-time? And I was like, what? Can I let you know in a couple days? Because A, it's Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
And B, I've only been doing this for like 2 months. And again, me at that time sees zero value in myself. And so immediately all the reasons why this is a horrible idea come to my mind. And, you know, all the things. I don't know. I'm not a reporter. I'm right. still like, right. I just interview people. I don't know. Yeah.
But we're not a podcast either.
No, yeah. I'm not a woodworker.
Right. I'm definitely not.
You know, I've learned my lesson. I'm working on it.
Yeah, we all go. This is a great because we all go through that.
That's why we're professionally unprofessional.
Yeah. Right? I like that. And so I just prayed about it and talked about it with my spouse and the kids and people that are important to me. And all signs really said, why not? Which was something that I had started saying to myself, like when opportunities come in front of me, why not take them? And so I took a huge leap of faith and a cut in pay and went full time for the Daily Citizen and quit the jail. And it was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
One thing I've learned, and I know that sometimes, well, guaranteed, just because you're making less money doesn't mean you're less happy.
Oh, my goodness.
Wait, money does not equal happiness? What are you talking about?
Can you believe
about?
It, teacher?
Right? It's crazy. Yeah. yeah. Didn't get that memo in school.
If anybody knows, this is this guy.
Yeah. That's true.
So, yeah, it was the best decision I've ever made. Like, just, A, I didn't realize how much weight I had on me working in an environment where you see people at their worst day after day, and not only see them at their worst, take care of them, regardless
of, do you feel like a hopeless situation there? Is there any hope at all in a jail? Do you feel?
Well, I took
other
it,
than what you can put into it, I
right,
guess.
Right, I took it as my job to put that hope there.
And that hopefully that's how everybody is who works there. I guarantee you that's not, but that's the hope of hope. you know. Mm-hmm. But outside of that, do you see hope in that situation, I guess? Is there a... Or you just come home defeated every single day.
You just come home defeated. If you're not intentional about putting it in there, it does not exist. Mm-hmm. Because especially within this county, they get arrested, stay for the most part about 30 days. In those 30 days, you don't have a job anymore. If you had a residence, you either are about to lose it or have already lost it because you don't have a job.
Yeah.
And then most of the time they end up taking your license. And so now you also don't have a way to get to a job.
Not legally.
Legally.
Right.
And if you get pulled over, guess where you go?
Right.
Yeah. Back to jail. And then when you get out of jail, you also have a fine to pay, but no job and no license. And so you literally see the same people every 30 days after being there for 30 to 60 days. Like, you know,
I'll see you in a week.
Yeah. I'm going to see you in a week to 30 days because they're either going to come for getting pulled over again or done something stupid, or they're going to come when they go to court because they can't pay their fine or what, like they're going to come back. And so,
there is a little bit of a cycle that's easy to fall into once it gets started.
Oh, it's so easy to start.
Okay.
Yeah. Easy to stay in it. Easy to start.
So let's leave it at that.
Yeah.
Don't start it. Mm. And
don't start it.
Don't start none. Won't be none.
Just saying. But so leaving that environment, going away from seeing people at their worst all the time. Uh-huh. And knowing the worst of humanity and the things that they can do to each other, to citizen of the day.
Mm. Yeah. Right.
Was like, ah!
Cody, you are the opposite of jail. Everybody who's been citizen of the day, raise your hand. Oh, there's only one. And it's Mr. Famous.
Yes, it is.
Cody himself.
Organic.
Just think, it could have been jail.
That's true. He had a 50-50 shot.
I'd been on TV for a whole nother reason.
And in the paper.
And in the paper.
Because we write about it.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah, it was just my blood pressure went down. My just natural vibe went back to Happy Shay. And that was awesome. Not to mention, as a writer and reporter for a media outlet, like an official one, you get access and experiences that no one else has. Like, I took pictures out of a helicopter.
Whoa. When,
yes.
Whoa.
And Al Fowler, who is like just a community photographer and takes pictures of everything.
Yeah.
Like, captured that moment and sent it to me. Nice. Of the picture of me hanging out of this
can
helicopter.
Can you send that to us so we can post it on Instagram and everyone can see it?
Yes.
Yeah. All right.
It's one of my favorites.
Awesome.
And I also, through the paper, discovered my love for photography, because you write the stories, but you also take the pictures.
Well, they're worth a lot more than the writing.
Yeah.
Not to downplay your writing, but I'm just saying that's what I've been told.
It is the greatest.
That's what I heard. What's the ratio? Like a million words?
A million. Something like that.
A picture is worth 1,000 words.
1,000. There it is.
It's 1,000 to one.
Mm-hmm. Whatever.
But yeah, so it was just really, really rejuvenating.
So you go from really weird hours to weird hours again.
Yeah, to even more weird hours.
That's what I'm curious about. Like, come full time. Like, what does that entail? Are you 40 hours a week, or like a story is a story? I got to go do the story. Or
yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay.
Awesome.
To both of those. Technically, I am 40 hours a week. That's on paper. That is what I am. Mm-hmm. But what that means is, any 40 hours.
Gotcha.
So whether I decide that day that I'm going to be out really late at a city council meeting and don't need to go to work until 10 or 11, then I can.
Right.
As long as I get my, whatever the limit is for your paper, which for ours is 2 stories a day. As long as I get my 2 stories in.
Getting 2 stories, that'd be tough.
I don't feel like there's that much going on where a bunch of people can get two stories all the time.
So Ben, the guy who would have had you write his paper in school,
Exactly.
So,
but there's only two reporters.
I'm the same way.
I don't feel like
I could get that many. Like, it's Cersei. Like, what could be going on?
But you guys really do just get turned loose. to go out at whatever hours you can, to go wherever you can.
Yes.
And as long as you bring it back and make it a thing.
Yes. So
how is there, wow. how is there like a, do you create your own story? Like, okay, I think I'm going to make this story, like find, not create.
What is this?
Find, CNN?
Come on.
Find your story is what I mean. Like,
yes and no.
Or you're not just sitting by the phone and be like, all right, come on, phone rings, let's get a story.
Both.
Okay.
So there are some days where there's a city council meeting and a school board meeting and this great event that you have to go get pictures of and like 18 other things. And you already had some interviews scheduled because you have some other stuff coming up like Citizen of the Day. And that day is just like, whew. And then you still have to put in two articles. But then there are some days where there wasn't a meeting the night before and nobody is doing anything special. And you're really like, hey, what's somebody, what's happening today? So there's both. Mm-hmm. Meetings, a lot of meetings are pre-scheduled because any governmental or governing body is a public body and they have to have a public meeting at least once a month. So those are scheduled every month, the first Monday or second Tuesday or third Wednesday or whatever.
Do you wake up those days and be like, easy day, I know exactly what I'm doing?
Never.
Never.
No. I cannot even count how many times I go into work with a plan. Like, okay, today I have this and this and these photos. And then by the time I get home, 18 other things have popped up. It's never, ever what somebody decides to catch fire. Or
why'd you have to go do that? It's going to be an easy day.
And it's there's always a fire on a day when it's raining.
Really?
That's weird.
Like, really?
Yeah.
Thanks, God. It's awesome. You're the best. So
yeah. I got to ask. So you published your book.
I did.
Was that before you became the reporter or after?
Yes. I published the book in 2014. I did not become a reporter until December 2018.
So have you seen, how has your writing changed from the book to now? And if you were to rewrite the book, would it be different?
Okay, I'll answer the last question first. If I rewrote the book, it would be different because I'm just a different person than I was in 2014. And I believe the Bible is alive and I believe that it speaks to us where we are in our journey. And so some of my beliefs may have changed. My experience with God may have changed or, you know, whatever. And so I'm going to get something different from it anyway. And since I was writing about scripture, it would be different just in general. My writing style has changed. I think it's more mature. From just then, a lot of it was just whatever was on my brain, a lot of just freestyle overflow of my heart kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Well, now I actually have knowledge to go with the overflow of my heart, and that knowledge has spanned from a variety of people. So because I got to interview professionals and unprofessionals, males and females, old and young, like just all different kinds of people and where they are in their journey, that influences my writing and my knowledge of just these different topics. I learned about taxes and the officials that have been voted publicly to be whatever. I've learned about guitar harps or harp guitars. Didn't know that was a thing until I interviewed someone that plays the harp guitar, you know? So just like my exposure to life and to different people has changed my writing.
Okay. So my next question.
Okay.
Top three Citizen of the Day articles that you've written.
He's still trying to put himself in the...
No.
Say Cody.
Trust me. I was there for that interview. Oh, okay. It's not in the top three.
Okay.
Okay. So...
It read well. The writing was perfect. You wrote that one up, right?
Really well. Okay. She did. I read it and I was like, who's this guy?
That was great.
I was like, oh,
it's me. He's like, that's what we said?
I don't remember any of this.
So I can't say... I can't pick the top three articles because I don't read them. Like, I write them and then I kind of data dump
to me.
What
read?
I said. I don't go back and read. No, No.
I go back and re-listen to our podcast at least like once. I listen to what it when it comes out, I listen to ourselves.
See, I can't do that.
Yeah, but you do the editing.
You're not going to listen to this?
No, I don't edit anything.
I don't know.
You may or may not.
I may not listen. I can't do that.
I listen to it once, maximum.
Once.
Then, yeah.
Yeah, that's all. But it's just okay. At least once.
All right.
So in 5 years, I'll go back and listen to it and be like, hey, I remember that.
That was a fun time.
I was getting ready to move and all.
Here's what I'm thinking about now, at least with the podcast or like the videos I do and stuff, maybe for your writing. You have kids. I have two boys, 7 and 2 year old. And I'm thinking, especially with social media, if it is there forever, we are writing our own memorials.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Like, absolutely.
It's going to be out there forever.
Forever. So my kids, if I pass and their kids, and hey, listen
they
to
have
your grandfather.
Memories.
Which is either really cool or really scary. Like, know what you're putting out because it's there forever.
See, I love that.
Like who you are.
But I'm really into history right now and legacy and sharing that and passing that down. And so that's awesome to me that it's like being done. But so my favorite three, it would be based on what I remember about the interview, not necessarily, you know,
do you record? Do you record the interviews?
I record every interview because my memory is horrible.
Mine as well.
Really?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. Like, I will pick up my phone and then forget what I was supposed to be looking up.
I'm so glad that's normal.
I do that.
Is that normal for creatives, do you think?
Yes.
Okay, good.
It is because our brains,
I hate to bring up any, like, stereotypes or anything.
But it is.
I will literally walk into a room or pick up my phone and blank for
the next
20 minutes. Then I walk away. Everything's out of my reach. I can't do anything about it. What I remember. Oh, the thing that I needed to do. Now I can't do anything about it.
It
drives me out of my mind.
I have called someone and then forgot who I was calling when the phone started ringing. And so I'm waiting. Away.
I've been missing you. What's up?
I'm so thinking, oh God, please be a voice that I recognize.
Oh, wow.
Please don't be someone that I was like about to interview or something, because I will blank out and have no idea. And if it's someone that I don't recognize, I'm like, hey, this is Shay with the paper.
Yeah, okay.
Have you done something? No? No? Okay. I'll call you back, maybe.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I do that all the time.
Do you? Okay.
It was last week or the week before last. I drove all the way to Cabot for something. I left.
Driving is totally different.
No, it's not.
Not someone on your phone. No.
I had to go to Cabot. I knew that's where I was going to go. But it was like as soon as I got there, I forgot what I was doing, and so I just went to Dairy Queen.
Did you not remember?
And it just never dawned on me.
Did you never remember?
It's a 30-minute drive one way to not know where you're going.
Yeah.
Did you figure it out?
No, I knew where I was going, and I was going to pick something up.
And
you need chicken. Did you pick a chicken basket?
Apparently, I needed a Blizzard more than anything else.
Dairy Queen, and that was it. Okay.
Okay, I'm not like that.
No, you're not. Okay, you're hyper aware of everything going on.
I can multitask
yes,
for
you
sure.
Can.
We're not Ben.
But
sorry.
I can't remember like names.
Oh,
we just met today, and I'm like, I had to say it 8 times in my head. Don't forget. Names, short term, no. But anyways, best three. We keep cutting you off.
I keep avoiding, and it's not working.
There aren't
keep
any.
Coming
okay,
back.
We'll skip that.
Ben's persistent. He doesn't.
I remember
these
what we were talking about.
I'm like that too. Okay. So top three citizens of the day. Okay. Well, my most recent one is in the top three for sure because he is a 27-year-old priest who just became a priest because he just got out of seminary. Oh. And he is also a rugby player, a harp guitar player, and has built a car from scratch with his father. And those things put together in one package are just intriguing and awesome to me.
The harpitar.
I think it's called a harpsichord.
Is it? No.
No.
I don't know.
That's a real instrument, but it's not that.
Okay. Never mind.
Brian said no.
We'll also have to find a picture of a harp guitar and post that.
It looks like a guitar with a bunch of extra strings.
Okay.
Like with this little harp extension of it. It's really cool. Yeah. And his, like, I think if I had to pick a theme of the interview, it would be resisting stereotypes. Like, that was his thing, is that he doesn't fit into a box, and he is happy about that. He is happy that he gets to have experiences and try new things that he may or may not like, and that he doesn't fit a mold. And so,
Do you feel like you're that way, too? Because you've done so many different things, I guess.
Oh, yeah. In so many ways. Like, it's,
What kind of car did he build?
A 1979.
I'm impressed already.
Okay.
Let me know.
It was a Datsun because it's of the time frame. So it's like a Datsun, not a Dodge. No, it's a Datsun, not a
Nissan.
That thing. Okay, so it's a Datsun, not a Nissan.
A Datsun 240 or something like
that. That thing, and it's black. Okay. Is that the hatchback looking one? Yeah. That's what it was.
So
with the grill looking thing in the back window. Yeah, I'm totally a girl, by the way. Yeah. If you couldn't tell.
It looks kind of like a little Celica.
I don't know.
So,
what is a Celica?
Nissan.
Is that a vehicle?
It's a Toyota, okay. It's a little hatchback with the grill thing.
Okay. Is that like a Thunderbird?
No.
Really, no. Okay. No. Just kidding.
All right, so cars are out.
But she remembered what he built.
Yeah,
so.
No.
Yep. Good.
So two more.
This is what a harpsichord looks like, by the way, or a harp guitar. It literally is a harp on one side with a guitar on the other.
So there's a fretboard like normal, but then there's a curve that comes off the main body and goes to the top of the fretboard.
Yeah.
And there are harp strings over it. That is crazy.
It is a beautiful instrument.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And what he said about it is that it has, so I'm also like a music geek, so I was really like, what? Yeah. And my kids took fiddle lessons in Mountain View, because if you're going
to take fiddle lessons,
you go to Mountain View. And I was living in Romance at the time, which so Mountain View's not far. And so when I was there, just the experience of that and seeing a dulcimer for the first time and just
I saw like beautiful. A mountain dulcimer for the first time when I was like 15 years old.
Oh, my gosh.
Because I had buddies that lived like up in the hills up in Northwest Arkansas, and it was a pretty magical sound, and I've always kind of wanted to learn how to play one.
They are beautiful instruments, and I saw once live a couple playing the dual one where they sit with each other and play. It was like the most inspirational music playing I've ever seen. It was great.
Every one of our listeners is about to YouTube a dulcimer.
Hammer dulcimer and mountain dulcimer.
And the harp guitar.
No idea. No, the only, I don't know if she listens, but our mother-in-law, Brian and I are married to sisters.
Mm-hmm.
Our mother-in-law is a music teacher. She knows all of these weird instruments. I have no idea. Nor can I play a single instrument. Nothing.
Oh, I play guitar and piano.
Well, you're one instrument away from a harp guitar.
Right? I am. I only learned how to play those because I write songs, and I wanted to be able to put my own music to my songs.
How does writing music and writing literature, I guess?
Differ?
Are they the same? Can you use one with the other? I'm not musically inclined at all. I don't know how to do either.
Okay, so writing music and writing a personal piece of literature are the same for me because all of it is just whatever is on my mind or on my heart. Writing music and writing, like, news reporting are not the same, because news reporting is not about you at all. It is all about the person and the event and what is happening, and you are a fly on the wall telling people what they weren't there for.
Yeah.
But storytelling is like my thing for my media company that I started. It's AH see it instead of I see it, because my theme is sunrises and enlightenment. And so it's like, I see it. But so it's see it media.
Okay.
And so the main thing is storytelling and just sharing. I believe everybody has something to offer, and being able to put that out and share it with the world, whether that is through my graphic design or my copywriting or my social media management or sitting up and having an interview and putting it out.
Yeah.
So, can you tell us about your graphic design and your freelance work?
Brian is the artist, by the way.
Okay.
I dabble.
So, you dabble. Uh-huh. I like it. Yeah. Okay.
I see it.
I see it.
Yeah. Okay. So, again, another just wrench that gets thrown in stuff with me. That's how things happen. Like, I'm going, and then it's like, oh, look at the bird. Let's follow that.
Squirrel.
Squirrel! Yeah. So, I decided to go back to school. At the time, I was working at the jail, and so I went back to school for what I originally went to school for, because that makes sense. Yeah. And then life happened, and I decided that I was no longer going to pursue what was safe. I was going to reach inside myself and pursue what meant something to me. And so I switched schools and degrees and just dropped everything and went to Full Sail University, which I'm still currently going to.
Okay, yeah. Full Sailing?
Full Sail. So full, like F-U-L-L, sail, like a boat. S-A-I-L. It is out of Winter Park, Florida. And I am studying media communications. Well, Full Sail is awesome because every student gets a MacBook, an iPad, and Adobe Creative Cloud, all the software for free.
I didn't know that.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, well, the MacBook I'm not so crazy about, but everything else sounds great.
If it's free, it's for me.
I mean,
you need internet for all of those things.
Shut up.
And so with Full Sail, I have these things that I never had before, I've never owned in my life. And so that was just cool. And Full Sail is all about enhancing your creativity in one way or another. All of their degrees are creative oriented. And so the first three classes are all about creativity and how to communicate with your audience, how to let your creativity shine in a way that will actually reach them. And they have taken the approach that all this time, everyone has gotten it wrong. It's traditionally been all about you. You're pitching you. And Full Sail says, no, the audience is the hero. You're pitching them. You're showing them why their life is important and why having you in it or your product in it will benefit them.
Okay.
So, first three classes. Yeah.
Cody's giving me the nod. Like, yeah, this is what's up.
Right. And so, of course, the creative in me is like, yes. But then the business in me is like, yes.
How is this going to work?
This is going to be some great marketing right here.
Let me sell you yourself.
Yeah. And so we had to break down movie posters and commercials, and marketing is part of that. And they talk about and I'm super into information. Like, I love information and psychology and how the brain works and how like we cannot control things that we really wish we could. But some things you just get primed. That's why I said we get easily influenced. And so one of the things that we learned about is neuromarketing. Best thing I've ever read or learned about in my life. So neuromarketing is where they take all the sciencey stuff and put things on your brain and follow your waves and what you're gravitating towards. And they show you images and videos and commercials and print and all kinds of things. And they, through the collection of the information, have found that there are natural patterns that the human race follows that you cannot control. And so
Full Sail has done all this research?
No. Full Sail is utilizing the research to tell their students to help enhance.
Got it.
Because they have access to all that because they're a university and, you know, have stuff that regular people can't. So one of it that stood out the most to me is called an F pattern. Humans, when there is a big group of text to read or text across a vast size, we read in an F pattern. We start at the top and we go down and then we go back to the top and go across and then we go down and go across. That is the natural eye pattern movement when you're reading anything. And so because businesses know this now, our neuromarketing has put this out there, like a lot of ads and just the way that things are marketed has changed. I think that's great. But that also changed like graphic design and the colors and, you know, the symbolism behind the colors and what they mean and fonts and, you know, how they do things. And I love all that. I love being able to know why something works or why something does not work.
Okay.
Because, you know, I like making things easier. Mm-hmm. So I started doing all of that with Full Sail. I had to come up with an identity for myself and like market it and decide what my image is, what my theme was going to be, what my colors were, what kind of it. It's called a mood board. Mm-hmm. Right?
Don't they do that for the show?
Yeah.
Deal?
Yeah.
They gave us mood boards to look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to do that for school.
Yeah.
Yeah. And just come up with all these different concepts. And so you have to do it for yourself, but you also have to analyze ones that you have seen and, you know, break down all the different parts and stuff. And I fell in love with it. And so I just started doing it on my own and just making logos. I did a couple for some people here locally and just, I love it. I love creating. I love taking something that did not exist and making it exist. It's the same as cooking with me, though. I love going from nothing or all these different things that may or may not go together and then making them into something that is pleasant to someone else.
The pantry dish.
Okay.
So that was the thing, like when I was growing up, it'd be like, wait, what are we going to eat? Like, so you go to the pantry. You make a pantry dish.
Dish. I was like, what?
Yeah.
Pantry dish.
Yeah.
I call them concoctions.
What do we got? That's mix it in a pot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coming out of college, single.
Oh, yeah. Being in the military.
99% of what my concoctions were not correct.
Yeah. Or being broke. And so whatever's in the refrigerator, we're going to put that together.
Yeah.
And it's going to be great. You put enough seasoning on something and it tastes delicious.
It was not when I was alone.
You didn't know about the seasoning.
You would eat it and cry.
Yeah.
So that exists in jail also.
Concoctions of things.
They call them
the
spreads.
Ramen noodle.
Yes.
Packets.
Ramen.
I really like ramen noodles.
Ramen is your base of any good spread.
Okay.
Okay. And this is granted, I saw this all the time. I refuse. I will not eat it. I will not. No. Because, no. But they love it, and apparently it tastes delicious. And so they start with ramen, and then you got your hot Cheetos, and then...
Has to be hot.
Has to be hot Cheetos, because normal Cheetos don't add flavor.
Okay. Well, as cheese?
No.
No.
It's not the same.
It's not the same. And then they just throw on... Well, there also is jalapeno cheese, like, squeeze packets. But they, you start with ramen and some hot chips... And then whatever else goes on it. And I was like, y'all good.
I don't know. That sounds really good to me.
I can hook you up.
No, I'm good.
I know some people that have recently gotten out of jail.
I can make it myself. I'll YouTube it.
There you go.
Oh, that would be, things that you didn't think to YouTube.
So we're coming up almost to the end. I want to cut this in real quick. This has nothing to do with what you're doing.
Okay.
But in our lives, so Brian and I, and Cody dropped out of it, bought a giant laser that is behind me that I can't put my chair in. So that's something new in our lives.
Yeah.
And then Brian and I made this giant sign for a company.
Oh, are we going to talk about this?
Yeah, because it's heartbreaking. 5x2.
I'm sick about it.
Like, I'm 5x2 Ill. Foot. 4 months making this sign. We ship it out UPS.
Crated it. You put it in a crate.
Put it in a crate. Built it's a 100 crate. Pounds. Two people have to lift it. 98.8
pounds, 5 feet long by 7 inches tall.
It's
by
in a wooden crate.
It's a rough estimate.
Eight.
It was massive.
It was big. Take it to the UPS store. Drop it off. Do the deal. You can't lose this giant package. Giant.
Yes.
Huge.
Can.
They lost it.
Lost it.
Lost in the mail.
Lost in the mail. I got a call from the customer because it was supposed to go out today or to be delivered. He's like, yeah, I didn't get it. And I'm like, are you kidding me? He's like, yeah, I tracked it. Not there.
Like it aliened. It just,
like,
just
yeah.
Made it to Little Rock and gone. No more tracking.
Man.
We need to
the feeling go of creation,
to the store or something.
I get with you.
Tomorrow.
You know? I guess that's why I do what I do. We do what we all would do what we do. That feeling of looking back, I made this.
Yeah.
But then turning that into the business model of now I have to ship it and make sure it gets there. And then now we're out money. Like, apparently we got it insured.
Good.
Yeah. But they don't cover the cost of shipping.
Oh.
Which is the thing that lost it in the first place for insurance.
It did not get
shipped. They didn't do what they did.
Shipping was not happening.
And shipping was $240.
Yeah.
It was heavy. Why is it called a shipment if they drive it?
That was good.
Hey, that cut the tension in my heart. Thank you.
It did not. It was funny, but I'm still nauseated about this situation. Yes. So, yeah, point of reference for the future. UPS.
Negative. I bet everyone has a negative story about every single shipping thing. Well, I'm sure they do,
but we put 3 months of nights into that sucker. We have never tried shipping anything that big before, ever. And the one time, I'm sorry.
Banging the table every time.
He's on the outside of this situation. Yeah. He doesn't know.
We're in limbo right now. I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, this is like purgatory. I would rather go one way or the other and know right now if they dropped it and it shattered and they just don't want to tell us, or if it's sitting in a warehouse literally buried and they can't find it, or what.
If you can't find something that... Just kidding.
It's the size of a person.
100
How
pounds.
Could you lose it in the mail, UPS?
Yeah, I don't know.
How could you lose something that size?
I tagged them in my
If it's a bubble wrapped envelope, I understand, but it was a freight the thing had to be put in.
Turn your radio down, I'm sorry.
They asked us to move this thing once we got it into the shop.
Can you put it on
because they didn't have the strength
to
do
it themselves.
Can you
move it over here?
Okay.
Anyways, I'm done. That's on our heart right now, really
hard.
It's
on my heart.
I'm sorry. So,
it's a good thing we keep this family business. Friendly, and that's I don't right. swear. Mm-hmm. I don't swear. I don't.
Cody, before we go, anything new in your life over there?
No, not really.
Are you on autopilot, just making orders? And
Right now, it's just we're waiting on the website to go live.
Oh, that still isn't. Good grief. Nice. It's taking forever. You had a photo shoot recently?
Last week, we had the photo shoot for the website.
For the website. Yeah. Right.
Just to take some more inventory shots and stuff like that.
And that's like the very final thing that the TV show is doing with you.
And then the show airs October 8th.
Nice.
Yeah. And then apparently Shay's writing articles about me for some reason.
Cool.
You got 3 articles coming out about him?
Two.
2 articles coming out in the newspaper?
He's mentioned in them.
He's mentioned in them.
It's not about him.
But I am doing the t-shirt thing for Make Do.
Yes.
We had Joe.
And that's one of the articles.
Okay.
So
that on here real quick.
Okay. So we had Joe Ellis from Make Do on the podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right after that she did the day camp. Or no, it was even an overnight camp for the foster.
I think it was her first overnight camp.
It was.
Right?
It was for the foster care girls who, I loved that. One, my heart for foster care. And children in general. And then, she's moving into a new space.
Yeah.
So I had a bunch of people wanting t-shirts, organic t-shirts. And so I did a campaign through Custom Ink for all the proceeds that if you order a t-shirt with my logo that I designed, it's our t-shirts that we designed.
Yeah.
But if you order one, you buy it, all the proceeds go to Make Do.
Nicely done.
Yep.
For how long?
For 2 weeks. So the campaign, because it only does like 2 week increments. And again, the t-shirts don't even ship until after the campaign. So I didn't want it to go on for a real long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So August 6th is when it ends. And then the t-shirts will be shipped out then.
Okay.
So if you're listening to this early enough, they can find you on, where do they go to get one of these shirts if they want
it? They can look at the organic Facebook page or the... We also have the link on our Instagram page as well.
What's your handle?
Organic Woodwork.
I think there's an underscore in
R
Instagram.
Yeah. A-R. Organic.
Organic. Underscore.
Underscore.
Woodwork. Right. Yeah. What's your social media so everyone can find you?
I have 2 ways that you can reach me. You can look up I See It Media on Facebook.
There is a fly.
There is.
Landed right on the golden mics.
It did.
Yeah. So if you hear a buzzing, sorry.
Yeah. It happens. So you can look up I See It Media on Facebook, or you can look up Shaytopia, Shaytopia on all social media. It's official Shaytopia.
I like that.
Or Shaytopia.official.
You're moving to
Houston.
Houston.
I am.
And
what for?
I'm going back to take care of my father, who's not doing great.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Yeah, and we're going to miss you because you've been a huge part in this community for so long, especially with Citizen of the Day, but you were never put as Citizen of the Day because you write Citizen of the Day.
Yes, the people that write the paper can't be in the paper.
So I think this should kind of be like that.
Okay.
Aw.
Yeah.
Well, that's absolutely sweet.
So,
Cody, you know her better
day,
than I.
I will. And I will. Cody's going to let me ramble some stuff off here.
Oh,
so,
gosh.
Shay Johnson, the brilliant mind behind Citizen of the Day, is the Build Guild's first citizen of the podcast.
There you
official.
Go.
I guess I'll just call it like that.
That's awesome.
It's official.
Congratulations. It's a high honor.
It'll probably be the only one.
Because she's that awesome.
Because she's that. We can't top it.
No. Nope.
We can't top it now.
You go out with a bang.
Go out.
That's right.
Yeah, but thank you so much, Shay, for being on.
I loved this.
Thank you for coming, Shay.
Thank you for inviting me.
Yes. Appreciate it. Thanks for coming to this weird back corner of my house.
Mm-hmm. We are in a shed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We are not in a corner.
No, it's a corner.
It's a she shed. Not a she shed, Cheryl.
It's not a she shed.
It's not a she shed, Cheryl.
Yep. All right, guys. We'll be back again. Sometime soon. I think our next episode is just going to be the three of us to talk a little bit more about what's going on with us.
About woody stuff.
Wood stuff. Yeah. Mm-hmm. No. Well, lasers.
Lasers.
Printers.
Now with lasers.
Drawing.
Yeah.
Cody's failing business. All those wonderful things.
Yep.
Awesome.
Nope. You had it. Nailed it.
Perfect. Excellent. Yeah. Sometimes with a guest, every time, we can't get super intimate about what we're doing. So we're going to do a catch-up episode, and then we're going to come back, and we're going to have Jason White of White's
artwork.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is that his deal?
Yeah.
White's artwork. I couldn't remember his tagline. sorry, Jason. Jason White of White's artwork. He does a lot of murals on side of the buildings in our town.
Man.
He's a ridiculous art
everywhere.
Painter everywhere. Yeah. He is huge right now. So
yeah,
be on the lookout for that. And until next time, we'll see you later.
See ya.
Ciao.
Bye.
Jinx.
Nope.
That was good.